Thank you for tuning in to the You Matter podcast. I hope today's episode provides value and insights to an ideology probably not so famous and helps you become a better person. So as soon as the first episode was out, I received numerous calls and messages wherein people kept asking me, Raish, why the name You Matter? Is there a reasoning to it? I told all of them to tune into episode 2, so I hope I better see that many listeners coming again. However, to be very honest, there are two main reasons why I have named the podcast You Matter. The first being, I've been a very verbal advocate on the importance of mental health, and one of the main pillars of any kind of improvement and self-development for any person to be mentally healthy is the fact that they need to know that they matter. So hence, I'm using this platform again to raise the awareness that no matter who you are, you matter. And the second is because there is an ideology, a philosophy that I have adopted in my life, and I think it has literally changed the perspective of how I look at the world, how I behave with the world. And it's been so important to me over the past few years that I've been, and the decisions that I've made, that I decided that I would like to spread this ideology as well. The ideology is called Ubuntu. What is Ubuntu, you ask? Well, the easiest way I think I could explain Ubuntu to you is by a true story that happened a couple of years back. A Western sociologist went to Africa, somewhere near Kalahari, and he met with this bush tribe. So as the adults of the bush tribe were doing their chores for the day, the children were playing around and having a time of their lives. And this sociologist decided to conduct a social experiment. So now he had a backpack which was filled with all these Western chocolates. He had the Hershey's, the Toblerones, the Mars, the Snickers, and all of that, which these bush tribe children would have never seen or heard or tasted for that matter. He put all of this into a basket and put it under a tree that was give or take 200 meters away from where these kids were. He then went to these children and he drew a line. He made all the kids stand behind the line and he said, on the count of three, when I say three, all of y'all need to run towards that basket of goodies. And whoever reaches there first gets to have it all. The kids were crystal clear with the concept and they were in line, ready for the race. The sociologist gives this echoing count. On your mark, get set, go. And this pin drop silence. He looks around and he sees all the children just standing there, rooted to the ground, looking at each other. Nobody made a move. The sociologist screams again, didn't you hear me? I said, on the mark, get set, go. No one left. For around 20 seconds, everyone was just standing there. The sociologist thought probably he was able to communicate and explain to them rightly as to what the whole purpose of this experiment was. And he stood there a little baffled. All of a sudden, this is one child takes two steps ahead. He looks around and he screams, Ubuntu! And all the kids echo screaming Ubuntu. They then start to do something that really takes this sociologist for a toss. They now become a human chain, locking hand in hand with the person standing right next to them. And they start walking towards that basket of goodies. Hand in hand, they reach there, they take the basket of goodies, and they split it. Now the sociologist went up to the kid and asked him, what is Ubuntu? And why did you do this? The boy gave the most mature answer that you could expect from a 7-year-old, probably way beyond some of the biggest leaders of different countries wouldn't be able to fathom. What he said had a lot of weightage in it. He looked at the sociologist and said, how can I be happy by winning this and eating all the chocolates when my friends will not be happy. I cannot be happy if the people around me are not happy. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Ubuntu. So Ubuntu is a jargon of philosophy, to be precise, a concept in ethno-philosophy that roughly translates to I am because we are. In a southern western language, I think called Nguini, Ubuntu is very centric around the principle of humanity. That's its prime focus. It decides to look beyond a person's race, borders, religion, caste, creed, gender, and all the thousands of ways that we decided to divide ourselves into. You know, it suggests that one can only exist if they have a relationship with others. And there are facts to back it up. Whether you are a Scientologist or a theologist, there are facts in both the places which back a philosophy like Ubuntu. It is an undenying truth that we learn to speak listening to other people talk. We learn to walk looking at other people walk. We learn to think and make decisions, which makes us as human as we can be. All of this looking at other people. So it isn't far-fetched to say that we are codependent with the people around us. You know, our evolution has happened because of our codependence with others, in fact. And even if you look at it on a theological perspective, a lot of what Jesus preached was influenced by the questions and the situations that were created around him by his disciples and his other followers. If you look into the Ramayana, wherein Ram made the journey to Lanka with Hanuman and the Vanar Sena. All of this has been in codependence with other people. The Hijra, Exodus bit from Makkah to Medina, that also happened with the people around. So even theology has enough facts to back this up, that there is a correlation between oneself and the existence with others. Ubuntu as a philosophy helps throw light on numerous aspects of life, things, and makes us think in a different way. One of those aspects is your personal identity. Now, if I asked you to define your personal identity on a piece of paper, it pretty much would go on the grounds like, I am a good son, I'm a good daughter, I'm a good friend, so on and so forth. A lot of positive adjectives to, you know, toot our own horn. What we think we are good at and what we are doing good in this world is what we would put down as our personal identity. Let's take it a step further. Let's also add in all the negatives. It can be the same. I am a bad son. I am a bad daughter. I mean, it can be anything. You know, list that down as well. Like it or not, this piece of paper that you now hold in your hand is basically the image that all of us have of ourselves, that this is our identity. But Ubuntu teaches us otherwise. If my existence is codependent with the people around me, with the relationship I have with the people around me, then how can my personal identity be only from my perspective? So to give you a clearer picture, let's just picture or imagine two circles, all right? In one circle, you have an internal narrative, and in the second circle, you have an external narrative. Your internal narrative is all those things you have just listed down. That is what you think you are, and this, your internal narrative is created mainly based on the circumstances in which you have been brought up with, your learnings, your experiences in life. All of this together makes your internal narrative. Meanwhile, you need to keep in mind your external narrative as well. What do people around you identify you as? Do they identify you in the same ways that you identify yourself? Do they identify you as a good or a bad son? Do they identify you as a good or a bad daughter? Do they identify you as a caregiver or not? Do they identify you as a kind person or not? You need to put that in perspective as well. So now that you have both your circles, there are going to be few points in each of these that are the same. So basically, you now have both the circles touching each other on these points. So this overlapping amalgamation of characteristics that have now been put in both these circles is what according to Ubuntu, defines your personal identity. Your identity is what other people define you as, and that mirrors what you define yourself as. All the other things that you, the positive things that you think you define is a part of your personal identity, and the people around you fail to see that. I hate to burst the bubble. Then your actions do not reflect the identity that you feel you have. You are living in an illusion that this is an identity that you hold. The same with the negatives. Now, there might be negatives that the external narrative might have. There might be people who might look at you as not a good listener. You might think you're a good listener, but people around you say that you're not. Ubuntu also gives you that opportunity to bridge that gap. Instead of making people believe that, and that's not an identity that you want to hold around you, you need to start acting in ways that prove them wrong, and automatically that becomes part of your own internal narrative. I hope you can picture this balance. It's like a balance on a seesaw. Whatever is pushed the other side goes up the other side. This helps throw a lot of light in personal identity, because a lot of us get so involved and hooked onto our internal narrative that we completely forgo the concept of an external narrative. We are so conditioned to many things. From the top of my head, I want to give an example. Racism. You know, something as simple as racism or communal hatred. It's something that a lot of people say centuries back, being born in a white family, white privileged family, you were conditioned to believe that you are from a superior race because the circumstances around you agree to it. Your upbringing was a part of it, and you're conditioned to it. Then you experience life. I can even take homophobia for that matter as an example. And then you're open to the world of possibilities, and you know, you're exposed to new people around you, and you start taking in experiences of your own. And then you make a rational decision that the values that you were brought up with, or something that you consider as your internal narrative, is it something that holds ground even now? So your internal narrative dynamically keeps changing. Hence, as Ubuntu says, I am because we are. The more your internal narrative changes, the more your external narrative also needs to change. If only your internal narrative keeps changing and your external narrative stays stagnant, there is no purpose in just fooling yourself that I am a better person only in your head, wherein people around you do not identify you as a better person. Another one of the practical applications of Ubuntu is under the topic of forgiveness and justice. Now, we all are a big fan of the late Mr. Nelson Mandela, and huge respect for the cause that he stood for. The sentence he suffered, 27 years incarcerated for raising your voice against apartheid, 18 years in Robben Island. He spent 18 years in Robben Island, surrounded by guards. But a less known fact is Nelson Mandela was always a practitioner and a verbal advocate of the philosophy of Ubuntu. For those of you who don't know, Christo Brand was Nelson Mandela's guard. You know, on his first day of duty, in Robben Island, he was told that you are going to be in charge of the meanest, the darkest, and the worst criminal that could possibly be incarcerated in Robben Island. And who is he? He asked, and he was told Nelson Mandela, and he had absolutely no idea as to how dangerous this man was. Over the course of time, Mr. Brand became good friends with Nelson Mandela, and in fact, if you read a couple of books, there are instances where Brand has mentioned that when Nelson Mandela became a grandfather, Brand bought his grandchild, smuggled him through the prison bars in a blanket so that he could meet Nelson Mandela. The grandchild could meet Nelson Mandela. That's the bond he formed. And this man, Mr. Christo Brad, was a person who believed in apartheid. He was brought up and conditioned thinking that apartheid was a necessary evil of society. Condemning a particular race was part of his, as mentioned earlier, internal narrative. And the concept of Ubuntu, his relationship with the person he had around him, changed his internal narrative so drastically that when Nelson Mandela was sworn in as the president of South Africa, Christo Brand stood by his side and he was a guest of honor at the swearing-in ceremony. That is the effect of Ubuntu. So when you talk about forgiveness and justice, Ubuntu has a very, very vital role to play. Someone who used Ubuntu during the Nelson Mandela presidential term was a Nobel Peace Prize winner, the Archbishop of Cape Town, the Bishop of Johannesburg. It's none other than Desmond Tutu. And he's a person who I really, really admire. So I was listening to this interview where Desmond Tutu was on a panel known as the Forgiveness Talks. I think that's what it was called. And he was talking with regard to the genocide that happened in Rwanda. Now what happened in Rwanda were there were two sets of people. The top dog and the underdog. The top dog kept oppressing the underdog. The more oppressed the underdog felt, the more the need to for a revolution. The more they reacted, the more they kept fighting with the top dog. They kept fighting till a point came where they took over. And now the underdog became the top dog, while as the top dog became the underdog. The new top dogs now start putting more oppression on the underdog to take in revenge of what they had gone through. Now the new underdog starts revolting. They start pushing pressure on the top dog till the tables turn again. Hence, what you start to notice is a spiraling revenge cycle which has no bottom to it. Every time the tables turn, the level of oppression keeps changing. Now this might have happened in Rwanda, but this is applicable to almost every kind of abusive discrimination that is happening around the world, be it on the name of religion, on the name of races, on the name of genders. All kinds of discrimination has been hooked onto these revenge cycles. It's like two bisons with their horns locked in and just running in circles. When do you draw an end to this? I mean, Ubuntu throws a lot of light on this. See, it talks about forgiveness in a way that no other philosophy talks about. It doesn't talk about just all of a sudden have amnesia and forget about the past. You know, the past never happened, so forgive and forget, what under the bridge. Because it often says those who forget the past tend to repeat it. Alright, so it doesn't say have an amnesia scenario wherein you forget about the oppression that has happened. But what it says is now that the oppressed has become the oppressor, how is that changing the situation in any which way? What needs to happen over here is reconciliation. In fact, that's the reason Desmond Tutu was also chairing the Truth and Reconciliation Commission for Nelson Mandela post-apartheid In fact, for his work in that commission is what he received the Nobel Peace Prize for. So he says that according to Ubuntu, you have a right of vengeance, but through Ubuntu, you abandon the right of vengeance. And once you abandon that right of vengeance, you open the door of an opportunity to become a better person yourself, as well as you open the door of opportunity for the person in front of you, the oppressor, to become a better person. Now in India, I personally feel that we are stuck in one of these revenge cycles. The whole Hindu-Muslim thing that keeps going on and revolving around the politics in this country, in the past and in the present, is that we are stuck in one of these revenge cycles. You know, 700 years back, these people oppressed, the Hindus oppressed the Muslims, then the Mughals came and they oppressed the Hindus, and there are a lot of stories, and you never know who drew first blood. But right now, if you tell me that, you know, because of my conditioning and my internal narrative is that I hate a particular religion and people of that religion, I stereotype them. Consider the current situation when we are in a pandemic. Now, tomorrow morning, you wake up to the news that the solution or the vaccine of COVID-19 has been developed by the person of your the religion that you are against. Will that stop you from taking that vaccine? I believe it won't. I believe at a point where right now, whether the doctor treating you is a person of a religion or a particular race or a gender that you hate, would that stop you from getting treatment? It won't. Because all of a sudden, when it comes down to humanity, you realize that all these divisions that have been drawn around you do not hold any value. What holds value is the fact that each of us are dependent on each other, and only if we work as a cohesive unit can we as a human race survive. I think today's situation is the biggest example for the need of Ubuntu, wherein we need to forget about all these divisions that we have created between ourselves, this hatred that we have created between ourselves, and look for reconciliation. Let's not just forget it. Let's not just bury the hatchet. Let's look for reconciliation. Look for reconciliation in a way that we make each other better. Push each other to points wherein we develop into a more loving society. I mean, just think of it. As of now, if tomorrow the Mexican government decides that they have found the cure to COVID-19, all of a sudden, do you think America is now going to think much about that? Oh my God, we want to build a wall. We want to keep them away. Now we are dependent on them. They are not. The hatred towards China that is happening right now. We are just creating more hate. What we need right now is the time for reconciliation, a time to work as a cohesive unit. Our very existence is in question right now, be it from the virus, be it from climate change, be it from global warming, be it from a nuclear attack. We have no idea, but our existence, we know for sure, is in question right now. What do you think is mankind's way to step out of this? How are we going to get ourselves off this situation? My personal opinion is the change starts from you. When each one of us puts that effort to make this world a better place, when we start to realize that we are one community, when we are one, everything in us is defined by the people around us. Everyone around us is defined by us. If we understand that this is a to and fro street, which does not hold space for hatred and vengeance and prejudice, is when we as humanity will sustain. I mean, I keep telling this to everyone. What do you want the generations ahead to remember you as? Do you want them to hate you for being the generation or being the race that made things worse for them? Or do you want to be remembered as the generation for breaking those stereotypes, making that difference and changing the world. Now, there are a couple of books that I went through to put this podcast together. The first book that I would recommend everyone to go through, I mean, Ubuntu or not, just going through this book will really, really change your life. That's No Future Without Forgiveness by Desmond Tutu. Fantastic book, very influential. There's another book for an everyday use of Ubuntu known as Everyday Ubuntu. That is by the author Mr. Mungi. I will not make an attempt to say the second name because I do not want to mispronounce it. And the third book that I went through was The Lessons of Ubuntu by Mark Matabane. So these are the three books that I went through. I went through a lot of videos and TED Talks with regard to Ubuntu. I would suggest you do the same so to get more involved in this. Because I'm sure by the end of this podcast, you yourself have realized that there is a silver lining to every cloud. And I think amongst these heavy storms and these testing times for global economies, Ubuntu is one of those silver linings. It's that ray of hope at the end of the tunnel for us to know that humanity will triumph. And for us to evolve and become better people, we are codependent on the people around us. Thank you, and I hope you have learned something from this podcast, and I'll see you through my next. Thank you once again.